This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. If you know this refrain, I invite you to sing it with me. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together. Bind us together with love. Amen. Please be seated. Bind us together. We hear on this seventh Sunday of Easter part of what is called Jesus' priestly prayer. It is the prayer that he now, in John's Gospel, extended gives to them. And of course, when it's the last prayer you're going to give, he's going to concentrate on what are the most important things. And he concentrates today on binding us together, on unity. And that unity becomes an important thing for us to consider and continue to look at. We have a parish mission that's been here from the time I arrived, shortly after I arrived, to bring all people into the fullness of Christ's family and to nurture their spiritual development. That is what binds us together. That is what we in this place are called to do. So how do we go about that? Well, we get an incredible hint about that in that incredible story from the book of Acts that we just heard. It's a prayer that moved both heaven and earth. Paul and Silas, they've been thrown into prison. Why? Well, as you heard, there was this servant girl who, according to Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, had a spirit by which she predicted the future. Notice this wasn't a spirit that came from God. This was a commercial enterprise, perhaps giving you hints ahead of time on which chariot to bet on in the race. She had a great deal of money that she had earned for her owners by her fortune telling, as Luke tells us, and yet, for some reason, she's following Paul and Silas and shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." And she kept this up for many days. Sounds like a positive thing, but for some reason, St. Paul didn't think so. And we're not sure of the motive, but finally, Paul turns around and spoke to the spirit in her and says, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." And at that moment, the spirit left her. This becomes a problem for the slave girl's owners. They were making a lot of money off of these predictions. She must have been pretty good. And so they want to punish Paul and Silas. So they drag them to the marketplace, made false accusations against them. And then they are stripped and beaten with rods, and they're thrown into an interior cell, the darkest part of the prison. Imagine that. So the question becomes, how do they respond in those weakest and worst moments? And how correspondingly is God calling us to respond? Well, what if and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them? Can you imagine, in their weakest and worst moment, in a prison cell, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God? A challenge for us in the way we respond to mistreatment. When everything had been stripped away from them, They made it clear who they truly believed in, what they truly valued. I don't think it says that they prayed for God to save their lives, but they prayed and praised God because in God they found their true purpose in life. What could be more freeing than that? It is that attitude that we are called in our worst and weakest moments to take on. As we find ourselves in our liturgical calendar, poised between the Ascension and Pentecost, and as we get ready for the summer, perhaps this is our opportunity to take this pause, as we might call it, and as we are praying and praising God for all of God's incredible works within our life together, maybe it gives us that opportunity to do just that. Jesus has left. As we said on Ascension Eve, it's the greatest compliment he could have ever paid us because he's telling us, you got this. You can do this. I believe in you. And yet the fullness of that Holy Spirit has not yet descended upon them, because that happens on Pentecost that we will celebrate next Sunday. But in that interim period, they are told to wait and pray until they receive that power from on high. Perhaps that is our opportunity. I'm going to invite us to do two things. Our counterparts in the Anglican community in the Church of England have started something where from Ascension Thursday until Pentecost, they have a program they call Thy Kingdom Come. The whole purpose of that program is for each person to identify 5 people that they will concentrate and pray for, and asking God in whatever God's way is to touch their hearts in a special way with an awareness of the Holy Spirit in their life. Seems like a simple but powerful program. And many of them have chosen to proactively let those people know that they are being prayed for. Whether or not we choose to do that, we're only 3 days behind in instituting it. Perhaps think of the 5 people, family, friends, acquaintances, neighbors, and choose 5. And just daily, ask God to touch their hearts. Pretty simple, but pretty powerful. Secondly, this time of summer, for us especially this summer, is a time for us to be waiting for power from on high, but praying that God will show us the ways that God is calling us to use the gifts and talents that we have to uphold the mission that we have in this place, to bring all people into the fullness of Christ's family and nurture their spiritual development. Today, we say a farewell to a family that has embodied that from the time even before I was here. The Handy family has been involved in just about every single ministry that you see on the back of the bulletin. Georgia, one of our greatest photographers, and we have a slideshow, and I apologize in advance for the offertory slideshow, because since Georgia's the photographer, there aren't a lot of photos of her. But the ministries in which she has been involved, the ministries in which Tom has been involved, the ministries in which Sally and Anna Lee have been involved. Serving as Sunday school shepherd, godly play teacher, Sunday school teacher, youth group facilitator, coffee hour volunteer, strategic planning committee, and as Tom would say, and anything else that Dee asked me to do. But also as the most incredible junior warden that God could have ever given us in this time of pandemic and change. It was never about them in their ministry. They have never asked for accolades. I know they were both a bit embarrassed when I called them up to receive a rector's award this past annual meeting. But let, like Paul and Silas's example to us, maybe the Handy family example can be ours as well. Where is God calling each one of us that we might use the gifts that God has given to us in a special way? And perhaps as we are praying for those five people, maybe perhaps in what way is God calling them to use their gifts? As we continue towards this descent of the Holy Spirit, let's remember in some way that the Holy Spirit's already here. And may we continue, even in our worst and weakest moments, to praise God, who is so good to us. Amen.